Putting wolves back here into Yellowstone National Park and the surrounding region is considered one of the great success stories of the environmental movement. The iconic animals, all but gone from Montana, Wyoming, and Idaho just 15 years ago, are revered by many. By others, they are reviled, as evidenced by the bumper sticker here, which has a picture of the predator with the words, "State-sponsored terrorist." But what does it mean for endangered species around the country when the Obama team treats wolves based on a precedent set during the Bush administration? William Campbell produced our report.
Once again, the howl of the gray wolf echoes through the peaks and valleys of the northern Rockies. 15 years ago, there were no wolves to speak of here. The government helped exterminate them decades ago, and then brought them back under the Endangered Species Act. Last year, the Obama administration removed federal protection for the wolves, which opened the way for controversial state-regulated hunting. But here, within the borders of Yellowstone National Park, wolves are now part of the landscape.
Nobody thought it was going to be this successful. I mean, think of that. We started with just 41.
Doug Smith is the head of the Yellowstone Wolf Project. He leads a team of researchers documenting the return of the wolves and their effect on the neighborhood. Without these so-called top predators, Yellowstone's elk population exploded and was overgrazing the range. Scientists like Smith say the return of the gray wolf has restored the balance of nature in Yellowstone.
He's bringing down elk and bison and deer, so his teeth show that.
Besides helping to keep the elk population in check, wolf kills leave food scraps for bears and birds, and they keep the coyotes on their toes. And the wolves that live in Yellowstone Park are a big draw for tourists. Wolf watchers have spent millions of dollars in the Yellowstone region to spend hours gazing at the packs.
Would it be okay if I looked in the scope?
You try it. To my untrained eye, a gray wolf is tough to distinguish from a gray rock.
I got him. Were the wolves ever supposed to just stay within the confines of Yellowstone National Park?
No one ever said wolves would stay in the park. The idea was to use Yellowstone Park as a reintroduction site and that they would spread out of the park across the public land in the greater Yellowstone area.
And in terms of the long-term health of the wolf in this part of the United States, it may be that those wolves need to be beyond the boundaries of the park.
Oh, absolutely. We have about 100 wolves in the park right now. The most we've ever had is 174. That size population alone is not viable in the long term. We need a bigger population of wolves. We need wolves here connected to other populations of wolves in the Northern Rockies. So the park itself, in the long term, does not have a viable population of wolves. We've got to have more wolves in more areas.
As the Yellowstone Park Wolf Project leader, Smith is keenly aware of the controversy that follows the wolves wherever they go.
Okay, so the Yellowstone, it's on the left.
He himself lives with his wife and two kids in the town of Gardner, Montana, on the northern edge of the park, never far from the roaming wolves. More wolves in more places outside the park means they need to be accepted by people in the surrounding states.
A lot of people around here, rural Montana, say it's easy for someone from the city to say, I like wolves and I want them back in the western landscape. The rural person, the rancher, the farmer is going to say they don't have to live with them. They don't have the sleepless nights. They don't have the worries about their sheep and their cows. So that is an issue that needs to be addressed. But of course, we have a system of public land where everybody owns it, so everybody has a say. So we have to weigh all these different opinions.
It's in areas like Montana's Madison Valley where people have to live with the reality of wolves skulking around. None of the local ranchers wanted to see predators that their grandfathers helped exterminate back on their ranches. And familiarity has not bred much love.
I can remember reading it in the newspaper that they were thinking about reintroducing wolves in the park, and I just laughed. Oh, they'll never do that. I don't laugh anymore.
John Crumley, a fourth-generation rancher, is adapting to what is now considered wolf territory. His ranch is only 70 miles from the border of Yellowstone.
The problem in the Madison is in the spring, the elk and the deer leave. The elk go back to Yellowstone Park or back into the mountains, and the wolves are denned in the valley, and they won't leave that den. And so they're left here without the food source that they normally have, and that's when they start to get in trouble with livestock. I don't think that we're ever going to be able to completely live with wolves and not have a problem.
In the 15 years since wolves were put back into the northern Rockies, tens of thousands of cows and sheep have been killed by bad weather, poison plants, coyotes, and even domestic dogs. In the same time, wolves have taken out fewer than 5,000 head of livestock and dogs. And for those transgressions, government agents have killed more than 1,000 wolves. Despite the losses, there are still at least 1,600 wolves in 200 packs now living in the northern Rockies. The Interior Department says that's enough wolves to remove federal protection and to turn control over to the states that'll use hunting to control their numbers. Wolf advocates oppose the state wolf hunts and want federal protection returned to the animal. They worry that the Obama administration is going soft on the Endangered Species Act, so they've taken this one to court. The case at hand, did this new administration move too quickly to remove the wolves from federal protection?
We've made considerable progress in restoring wolves to Yellowstone in the northern Rockies, but we're not quite at legitimate recovery yet.
Doug Honnold is the managing attorney in the Bozeman, Montana office of the environmental law group called Earth Justice. He is, at some level, the wolf's lawyer, representing conservation groups challenging the Interior Department's decision.
That wolf recovery efforts in Idaho be discontinued.
Honnold has spent most of his professional life working to protect grizzly bears, wolves, and other creatures. His law degree is from UC Berkeley, and he probably could have made more money doing his attorney thing elsewhere. But for him, America's natural world needs protecting, and he doesn't like some of the things he sees coming out of this president's Department of the Interior, including taking these creatures off the endangered species list. The shorthand for this is called delisting.
It was very disappointing when Secretary Salazar in the Obama administration re-upped and signed off on this rushed-through Bush administration delisting package for wolves that delisted them in Idaho and Montana.
Give me a sense. Why is your team suing the Interior Department? What's at stake here?
We've got about 1,600 wolves. We need about 2,000 to 3,000 wolves to be at legitimate biological recovery. So we're very near the number of wolves. But the primary impediment is that Fish and Wildlife, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, has set a recovery standard of only 300 wolves. And at 300 wolves, that's not a legitimate recovery level.
You got that? The federal government is saying just 300 wolves is all you really need. There are currently more than five times that many, and Honnold is worried the rest could face the barrel of a gun.
The consequence of delisting with that kind of game plan is that potentially 1,200 wolves could be killed in the northern Rockies under this delisting scenario.
Of course, figuring out just how many wolves is the right number is at the center of the controversy. Environmental groups cite biological research, suggesting the long-term health and survival of wolves depends on there being enough of them to roam around and to mix among packs in the three states of Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming. The federal government is confident wolves are now doing great, that there's no longer a need for federal protection, and it's high time management of the wolves gets turned over to the states.
The two land mammals with the greatest natural distribution on Earth are wolves and people. I mean, wolves are tough as nails, they're resilient as heck. They're really a bold, big-hearted animal, and they're back in spades here.
Ed Bangs is the Northern Rockies Wolf Recovery Coordinator for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, part of the Interior Department. Bangs has been working on wolf recovery around here for more than two decades.
We've done the first part, that wolves are back. There's plenty of them in plenty of places. They're never really going anywhere. And now the transition to state and tribal management is more of a legal issue and a politics PR issue than it is science. The science on this is solid.
Bangs is a wolf biologist and also the Interior Department's point man in dealing with people who don't love wolves as much as environmentalists.
I don't understand where four-legged animals, wolves, mountain lions, have more rights than people.
In fact, let's just be clear about this. Many ranchers and hunters cannot stand the critters at all, no matter what the number.
The question is, how many are we going to have and where are they going to be? And those aren't science issues. Those are human value and conflict issues.
This debate over wolves is one of the many legal battles being fought against the stunning backdrop of Yellowstone National Park, which borders Wyoming, Montana, and Idaho. Yellowstone figures strong in the American imagination, and its vast landscape is the beating heart of wilderness in the northern Rockies.
The greater Yellowstone ecosystem is a 20 million acre tract of land sitting in the middle of the West. It's an island geography in that it sits on top of the largest volcano on dry land on the face of the earth, and it's an intact system. It has all the animals that were here when Lewis and Clark came into this region 200 years ago.
Mike Clark is considered the dean of conservation for what is called the Yellowstone ecosystem. His point is that even if your travel plans don't include hugging a wolf in Yellowstone, what is happening here could be seen as a litmus test on how far this administration will go on wildlife issues near you.
When you put a policy in place here, whether it's dealing with grizzlies or wolves or elk or bison, it tends to set a pattern that resonates throughout the country.
Clark and other conservationists had high hopes for the new Obama administration when it comes to wildlife issues, but now feel some of its policies are harmful to creatures in Yellowstone and beyond.
What we've got now, and it's very perplexing, is that on a couple of these keystone species, bears and wolves, we seem to have the Obama administration adopting the policies of the Bush administration, which was largely anti-environmental perspectives.
So environmental groups are heading to court. Right now, three of Yellowstone's iconic animals are lawyered up. The bison are on their way to court. When they cross the invisible borders of the park and stroll into non-park land in states like Montana, they can be shot by government agents or hunters, or captured and sent to slaughter. Many of them have been exposed to a disease called brucellosis, and ranchers fear they could spread the disease to cattle. Lawyers for the bison will try to force the government to let the bison mosey outside the park and into cattle-free areas. And there are these toothsome guys. Conservationists in defense of Yellowstone's famous grizzlies are fighting to keep them on the endangered species list. They argue the recovering population of grizzlies is facing a new threat, climate change. The warmer winters have increased a pest called the pine beetle in the northern Rockies, killing millions of trees, including white bark pine, which produce a high protein-rich seed that grizzlies rely on for food in the winter and the spring. As for these charismatic megafauna, the Interior Department is passing its control over to the states. Each state needs a plan that'll pass muster with the feds to maintain the 100 wolves per state the government feels they need for successful wolf recovery. They require the states to add a little buffer, an extra 50 wolves per state. That's a minimum of 450 for the region. Montana and Idaho came up with plans acceptable to the government, and the wolves were taken off the endangered species list as a result. But there is a problem with state number 3, Wyoming, where that state's wolf plan did not pass the test, and wolves there are still under federal protection. It is this piecemeal approach to the Endangered Species Act that's at the heart of the court dispute. Is it okay, is it legal, to take away federal protection if not all states in a region are ready? Western states can be stubbornly independent. In the case of wolf management, all three states have different outlooks and came up with different plans. Montana's plan got the highest marks from most conservation groups. Carolyn Syme is the wolf coordinator for Montana.
And one of the foundations of Montana's program is that we think of wolves as a native species. They were here once before, and they're back now. And they have recommended to us that we manage wolves similar to other wildlife. So examples would be deer or elk or mountain lions or black bears.
Montana officials figure 300 to 500 wolves in their state is a good number. Compare that with Wyoming, which set a lower maximum number, only 150, and wolves could be shot on sight in almost 90% of the state. Wyoming proposed a system where, right up near Yellowstone, wolves will be managed like trophy game animals like black bears and mountain lions.
There will be a season, there will be bag limits. You have to have a license to take a wolf in that part of Wyoming. In the other part of Wyoming, wolves will be managed as a predatory species, which is the same way that coyotes are managed, for instance, in Wyoming, which means there's no bag limits, no hunting season, you don't need a license to take one.
Eric Kessler is a spokesman for the Wyoming Game and Fish Department. Washington rejected the Wyoming management plan because it doesn't give the wolves enough space and protection.
Proposed trophy game management area.
Now Wyoming is itself suing to overturn that ruling.
We still believe our management plan is adequate to maintain a recovered population of wolves in Wyoming, and our attorney general is in the process of litigation based on that decision by the Fish and Wildlife Service.
In Idaho, there are the most wolves, right now more than 1,000. It has a federally approved plan that between hunting and state management, half of those wolves could be killed. John Rachel is the wolf program coordinator for Idaho Fish and Game.
Our primary tool to regulate wolves long term is to use hunters to help us control the number of wolves. And, you know, this was our first year to implement a hunting season, the first regulated hunt we've had for wolves in Idaho.
Residents of the rugged mountains of Idaho have had an issue with the wolves since the reintroduction. Many resent the federal government telling them what to do, and many hunters blame the wolves for reducing the state's elk population, something hunters like to do themselves.
The wolves are just like anything else. They have to be controlled and balanced in nature, and the only thing that can bring that balance back is man. We're the only predator that the wolf has in this area.
The first wolf was shot by a man named Robert Millage on the first day of Idaho's hunting season. This picture, Millage, dead wolf, and high-powered rifle, set off a volley of protest from conservation groups.
And we can take a look at where the wolves live across Yellowstone.
And when Montana opened its wolf hunt, the first 8 wolves were killed very near the border of Yellowstone Park.
And they were shot right up in here. Most of it was about a mile from the park line, although I think one was shot out to 4 miles.
One was found with an electronic collar for scientific study. It was a national park wolf that hadn't strayed far, not the sort of wolf wildlife officials had in mind for the hunt. The Natural Resources Defense Council bought national newspaper ads to protest the removal of wolves from federal protection. Defenders of Wildlife, a conservation group that helped bring wolves back to the northern Rockies, targeted Idaho with a jab at the governor, who is so anti-wolf that he publicly offered to be first in line to buy the first wolf permit for the hunt.
I'm prepared to bid for the first ticket to shoot a wolf myself.
We don't care if they shoot them. We don't care if they poison them. We don't care what they do, but get them out.
We're not an anti-hunting organization, but believe that hunting is being used prematurely now, that wolves should not be delisted until we actually know how many wolves it's going to take, what kind of connectivity and what kind of management that they are going to require in order to retain a healthy population.
Earth Justice is representing the Defenders of Wildlife and 12 other groups in challenging the Interior Department. Among other things, they dispute the numbers the government says is needed for wolf recovery and the new interpretation of the Endangered Species Act that would allow delisting piece by piece.
The fundamental basis for this 2009 delisting decision was a Bush administration legal memo that said instead of protecting an entire population of an endangered species, we can pick and choose who gets protection, which critters get protection and which don't.
Honnold will argue that the intent of the Endangered Species Act is to protect species across its range. Many scientists and legal experts feel the Bush-era legal opinion, embraced by the Obama people, could reduce the areas of protection for the wolf to isolated zoo-like habitat.
How big a deal would it be if you lose on this issue of thinking about a population of wolves as opposed to dealing with it piecemeal?
It would be huge. It would basically be rewriting the Endangered Species Act in a way that would mean entire populations aren't managed and protected comprehensively. And it would mean that we would get closer to the precipice of extinction.
In his office in Helena, Montana, Ed Bangs is preparing to defend the government's delisting plan. He believes the 2,000 to 3,000 wolves the conservation groups want is too many for the changing landscape of the New West.
The more wolves you have now, the more wolves you have that are causing problems, because the really good stuff, like Yellowstone Park Glacier, is filled with wolves, and there can't be any more wolves in those places. So more wolves means more wolves in places that aren't good for wolves, and they aren't good for people.
And what's your sense? Can you manage the wolf population effectively as a region without Wyoming?
You know, we're in court right now with 13 environmental groups that are saying you can't do that. And we're in court with the state of Wyoming that's saying, God, our plan was good enough. You should have included us. And so we're just going to let those kind of issues work through the court system.
Back in Bozeman, lawyers for Earth Justice have submitted their arguments for wolves versus the Interior Department. They expect a ruling in the spring or early summer. Mike Clark is in his Greater Yellowstone Coalition office watching the developments on bison and following the grizzly and wolves lawsuits that his group has filed. They're all waiting to see how the new administration reacts in court.
It's a little too early to know where they're going. We're still hopeful that they will pay attention to science and not culture. The science on our public lands should be the dominant influence. That was not true with Bush. And we're still hopeful that the Obama people, once they're settled in and they've had a chance to look at the full range of science in this region, they will come out with some favorable decisions about grizzlies, bison, wolves, and other wildlife. We haven't seen it yet.
So much of America's identity as a frontier nation is rooted in the wild open spaces of Yellowstone. And what happens here doesn't stay here. It echoes like the cry of the wolf in every corner of the country.
The most important symbols we've got in the West in terms of the culture are wolves, grizzlies, and cowboys. They only occur together in Yellowstone. And we are here to make sure that the cowboys continue to have a conversation with the grizzlies and the wolves.